And just like that, a world that seemed quite familiar is now unrecognizable. And God whispers, I have not changed. You lament over the life you loved that is now a vague memory. Time seems to be moving faster than you can manage, and you've gone from simply living to merely surviving. And what was once certain is now, well, uncertain. And God whispers, trust in me. You face a world that appears to be falling apart. Foundations have splintered, institutions fractured, nations battered, people polarized. And God whispers, fear not. You mourn that what you once held in your hands is now out of reach, that the what-ifs have become the why-me's, that I never thought I'd see the day has already come and gone, that one day might never arrive, and that which lies ahead seems determined to leave you behind. And God whispers, I am with you always. You navigate the ups and downs of a life filled with hard work, tough decisions, stressful situations, and circumstances that seem out of your control. You spend day and night managing the highs and lows of a marriage, a family, your health, and your job, and alarmed to discover that you've lost yourself along the way. And God whispers, let me be your strength. And though trouble assembles all around you, and your enemies prevail against you, you attempt to stay centered and confident and convinced that even in the midst of uncertainty, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And God whispers, I love you. And just like that, the world seems a bit more familiar. And God whispers, carry on. So how do we carry on? You might wonder how much more chaotic things can get, but thankfully, as Christians, we do not have to be the victims of the chaos all around us. The Bible says it's possible to live with confidence in a chaotic world. But that's the hard part, isn't it? How do we remain confident and calm when the whole world around us is in turmoil? Let's take a few minutes to look at four very important things Jesus asks us to believe. And if you embrace these beliefs, I know you can stay calm and carry on.
Welcome to Turning Point. Join Dr. Jeremiah in just a few minutes for today's message as he teaches how to stay calm in this chaotic world. Today on Turning Point.
Till I met you, I was breathing but not tear me, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, cause when you call my name, well, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Coming up on Turning Point.
He said, I want you to believe in me first. I want you to believe in the place I'm going to prepare for you. And then I want you to believe in this promise. Listen to me. Jesus is saying to you and to me, I've got it all under control. Everything's going to be okay. And while you're going through some issues down here, in light of what I've prepared for you, those are just little skirmishes on the way to the Father's house.
You can find this inspirational challenge and 9 others in Living with Confidence in a Chaotic World, Certain Hope in Uncertain Times. Dr. Jeremiah's classic book, updated for today's generations. Biblically based, practical instruction to help you live with unshakable confidence. Whether you're discouraged by the events on the world stage or overwhelmed by the everyday challenges on your own doorstep, claim a confident faith that shows as you learn to stay confident and convinced that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Stay challenged and constructive in the world around you. Stay compassionate and connected to the people in your life. Stay centered and committed to God's Word. And stay consistent and confident in your walk with God. Request your copy when you give a gift of any amount in support of this program. And if you give $65 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will send you the Living with Confidence set, containing his book, his teaching series on your choice of CD or DVD, and a companion study guide. Plus, with any order of the book or set, you will receive the Unshakable Confidence cards to help you stay the course each day. You can find certain hope in uncertain times and live with confidence in a chaotic world. Order these resources from Turning Point today.
We will remember.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Sing that again.
We will. Signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember. We will We will look back at all you have done.
For more than three decades, David Jeremiah and Turning Point have delivered the unchanging Word of God to an ever-changing world. Through radio, books and print resources, television and online, people around the world have received the gospel, the strength and encouragement to help them through their greatest trials, and consistent Bible-strong teaching for their walk with God. And it has only been possible with the help of our Bible-strong partners. Our Bible Strong partners are dedicated supporters of David Jeremiah and Turning Point, whose gifts help Turning Point reach more souls across the globe and continue to come to you on this network. And you can join the thousands of Bible Strong partners today. Your dedicated support will help deliver the unchanging Word of God to an ever-changing world. Plus, as a Bible Strong partner, you will receive monthly resources handpicked by Dr. Jeremiah to encourage and strengthen your own walk with God. To become a member or to find out more information, go to davidjeremiah.org/Bible Strong.
Does your devotional life need a turning point? David Jeremiah's exclusive monthly magazine and devotional may be what you're looking for. Each issue of Turning Points is centered around a unique spiritual theme based on David Jeremiah's teachings. Inside, you will find inspiring articles from David Jeremiah taken from God's Word. Study inspirational daily devotions to aid you in your quiet time with God. Discover a complete schedule of Turning Points radio and television broadcasts, so you never miss a show. Join more than 300,000 subscribers who support the ministry of Turning Point around the world. Sign up for your copy of this free monthly resource today.
Dead. It is finished, he said. And we watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb. We wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I'm just seeing Jesus. Just seen Jesus, our precious Lord alive.
And I knew,
yes, I knew,
he really saw me too, as if till now.
His voice she first heard, those kind and gentle words, asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is
I.
In Living with Confidence in a Chaotic World, Certain Hope for Uncertain Times, Dr. Jeremiah finds a firm foundation in Scripture for living with unshakable confidence, even when our world seems in the grip of quicksand's undertow. Complete with simple yet profound steps that help you find hope in our uncertain times and see our own circumstances with new eyes. Request Living with Confidence in a Chaotic World when you give a gift of any amount in support of this program. And if you give $65 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will send you, in appreciation, the Living with Confidence set, containing his book, his teaching series on your choice of CD or DVD, and a companion study guide. Plus, with any order of the book or set, you will receive the Unshakable Confidence cards to encourage you to stay the course each day. You can find certain hope in uncertain times and live with confidence in a chaotic world. Order these resources from Turning Point today.
You are watching a timeless teaching presentation from Dr. David Jeremiah here on Turning Point. In appreciation of your viewership today, Dr. Jeremiah would like to send you the Unshakable Confidence cards with selected scripture and an inspirational thought from Dr. Jeremiah to help you stay the course each day. Receive the Unshakable Confidence cards completely free when you contact Turning Point today. Now, here is Dr. Jeremiah with his message. Stay calm.
Contrary to what so many people say, the prophetic scriptures are filled with practical admonitions. It's not all about pie in the sky by and by. It's about how to live today. And Jesus, in his careful presentation of his written word to us, has given us what we need as we await the coming of the Lord, which we believe could be at any moment. How then should we live, are the words of Francis Schaeffer. How then should we live at times like this? Listen to the words of John chapter 14 and verse 1. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. These are good words for us today. Let not your hearts be troubled. Say that with me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, before we explore the calming words of our Savior today, I want to make the point that Jesus would not have said this if there was no reason for it to be said. In other words, Jesus spoke to people who were troubled. And sometimes, even those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're troubled. Isn't that true? I know that I hear sometimes people say that when you come to Christ, all your troubles go away. I have to honestly tell you that when I became a Christian, I added a few troubles that I didn't have before. Because now there's a conflict between the way you used to live and the way you now live. There's no word in the scripture that says when you're a Christian, you don't have troubles. We all have troubles. In fact, it's interesting, as you look at this scripture, even Jesus had trouble. Over in the 21st verse of the 13th chapter, Jesus is talking about the impending betrayal by Judas. And notice what he says. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled. Interestingly enough, you can draw a line from that word to the word trouble in the 14th chapter. It's the same word in the Greek language. Jesus was troubled over what was about to happen because Judas was going to betray him. And then if you read on down to the end of the 13th chapter, as you get almost to our text, you hear the Lord interacting with Peter, and Peter's about to deny him three times. The Lord Jesus experienced trouble. So listen to me, folks. If the Lord Jesus had trouble, why should we think we wouldn't have any? In fact, the Lord Jesus told us, if you follow him and if you honor him in the world, you will have persecution. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Don't let trouble catch you off guard if you're a Christian. It's inevitable. It's part of the deal. It's what we experience on our way to the place God has prepared for us. Now, Jesus is talking to a group of people in 14th chapter of John that are going through some real trouble. Let me try to set this up, and I wish I could get into this as I would like to and try to feel the pain and the trouble the disciples were experiencing when Jesus talked to them. But let me just help you with this. All of their adult life, these disciples had known only one thing, and that was Jesus. He called them from their nets. He called them from their businesses. He called them from whatever it was that occupied them before he came. And for 3 years, they did not do anything but follow Jesus. He was their teacher. He was their friend. He was most of all their hope. They could not imagine life without him. He had become everything to them. They had forsaken all to follow him. And then one day, Jesus is talking to these disciples, and he says, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another." Notice verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me afterward." Just think about this for a moment. Jesus gathers his disciples and he says, "I'm going away. I'm leaving." And they said, "Well, Lord, where are you going? You can't come. You can't come. You can't come with me now. You'll come later, but not now." And it's no wonder when you understand this that the Lord Jesus sensed the trouble that was in the hearts of his disciples. And so he spoke to them in the 14th chapter to calm their troubled hearts. He gave them a message which was given specifically to help them deal with this trouble that they had no anticipation of. And in the words that he gave to them, he gives words to us as well. We read right through this passage to our own situation, don't we? Today, whatever our situation might be, economically or physically or with our families, whatever the trouble might be, we hear the words of the Lord, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then Jesus gives to his disciples and to us 4 things that they need to do to make sure that they don't cave in to the trouble in their life. I can't imagine anything that he could have said that would be more helpful to us than these things that he said to his disciples. Notice the first thing he says to them. He asks them and us to believe in a person. Listen to these words. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, these were good Jewish people. They had known God. They had believed in God. But Jesus was something new. Jesus was something that was just very new in their lives. Jesus had come on the scene, and Jesus had claimed to be God. And yet we know from studying the scriptures that the disciples didn't quite get it all. Not even until after the resurrection did they figure it all out. So Jesus is speaking to them, and he is saying, "Men, don't let your heart be troubled. I want you to believe in me. You believe in God, but I want you to believe in me." When he uses the word trouble, he uses a word which means to shudder. Don't let your heart quake. Don't let your heart shake. Don't let your heart be upset, men. Here's what you need to do first of all. Believe in a person. Believe in me. Has there ever been a time in your life or in mine when we needed somebody to believe in like we do today? You know, everyone that you seem to think might be someone you can trust, you follow them long enough and they disappoint you. Everyone who walks into any political office will ultimately be the source of disappointment for people. We put our trust in our financial security and it will disappoint us. We think we got retirement nailed and all of a sudden it comes unglued. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Put your trust in someone who is trustworthy. Put your trust in me. The Apostle Peter tells us that one of the reasons why we can live with trouble when we know Jesus is because the Lord Jesus tells us to cast all of our care on him, for he will care for us. There's an old gospel song that goes like this: "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." A little boy heard that for the first time in church. When he came home, his mother heard him singing it, but he had it not quite right. He was singing, "Trust and okay." But maybe he was more right than the writer of the hymn. Those are pretty good lyrics, aren't they? Trust and okay. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here this morning have trusted Jesus Christ for eternal life? Let me see your hands. All right, now put them down. So you've trusted Jesus Christ for eternal life, and you're struggling with what happened to you last week. If we can trust him to take us all the way to heaven, to give us a home in eternity that lasts forever, which is beyond any kind of time perspective you will ever be able to comprehend, if we can trust him with that, then Jesus says we can trust him with this. Whatever it is that's happening, whatever it is we're experiencing, Jesus says, here's the first strategy. He asks us to put our trust in a person, put our trust in Christ. Let me just say to you today that if you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ for eternity, that's where it all begins. When you finally come to grips with the fact that he's taken the greatest need you have in your life and he has solved that need through his own death on the cross, the trust cycle begins. You can really trust him when you know what he has done. And then Jesus says to his disciples, not only do I want you to trust in me as a person, but I want you, secondly, to believe in a place. Not only to believe in a person, but to believe in a place. Notice verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, obviously, this is about heaven. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, you want to know where I'm going? Well, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. We know that place is heaven. Now, if you study the Bible, you will see many synonyms for heaven as you study. Sometimes you read about the vastness of heaven when you realize that heaven is a country. Sometimes you read about the population of heaven when you think about heaven being a city whose builder and maker is God. Sometimes heaven is compared to a kingdom, and when that's done, you think about the orderliness of it and how it's well run. Sometimes heaven is called paradise, and when you think about heaven as paradise, you just think about how beautiful it is. But my favorite description of heaven is one found here in John 14. Here's what it is: the Father's house. That's what heaven is. Heaven's the Father's house. All of us have memories, if we've grown up in a good family, of the joy and security and wonder of the Father's house. I think I've told you that when my parents got older and they moved out of the house that we grew up in because they wanted to downsize, I was mad at them for a whole year. They moved out of the house that I felt secure in. Now I go and drive by that house and we don't live there anymore. Heaven is the Father's house. And Jesus said to his disciples, don't be troubled. Put your trust in me and believe that I have the future in control. I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. This is all about the Father. It's all about the Father's house. There's security and comfort and peace and calm in the presence of the Father. And Jesus is telling everyone about his Father, and he's saying, I'm going ahead to be with the Father, and we're going to prepare a place for you. Now, heaven is often marginalized by even people who preach in the pulpit. Sometimes people say heaven is just a figment of your imagination. It is what you make your life to be on this earth. That heaven, with a tongue in cheek, they say, is a human invention, a never-never land, a realm of dreams. But heaven is not a benevolent state of mind. It is not a vague vacuum. Heaven is not just the reward you get in this life for being good. Heaven is not a figment of imagination. Heaven is not a feeling or an emotion. Heaven is not the beautiful isle of somewhere. Heaven is not merely a thought. It is not merely a projection of the best in ourselves. It is not a vision of longed-for utopia. It is not a pleasing hope or an invention of man. Our thoughts do not make heaven. Heaven is a literal place prepared for real people, and Jesus is there now getting it all ready for those who have put their trust in him. And Jesus told his disciples that one day this place where he was going, which was his home, would become their home. Whatever he meant by the word mansions, and we've all heard lots of messages on that, and we've sung about the mansions over the hilltop and all of that. Whatever is meant by mansions, we know that he's not talking so much about huge buildings as he is about the fact that there's enough space up there for everybody. He's creating rooms for us in his home. He's going ahead to prepare the way for us. And one day, we'll go to live in that home. If we die before he returns, we'll move. If we are alive and remain when he comes back, we'll be ushered in with all of those who have trusted him to our home. Heaven is the Father's house. Heaven is home. Heaven is where Jesus is now and where he wants us to be. When I was first starting as a pastor, there was a counselor, a Swiss counselor that everybody was talking about. His name was Paul Tournier. Paul Tournier was a brilliant man, a Swiss counselor, if you will. And from this passage of scripture that we're studying today, from the second verse, he wrote a book called A Place for You. A Place for You. And in the book, he tells the story of a young man that came to him for some counseling. This young man had been born into a very difficult home situation. He had been cast about in his life in every circumstance, never ever feeling like he belonged anywhere. And Dr. Tournier was trying to help him, and they were interacting in counseling. And on one occasion, this young man tried to describe to his counselor how he felt. He tried to say to his counselor what was really going on, and this is what he said. He said, basically, I'm always looking for a place, for somewhere to be. And Paul Tournier said, that is the basic desire of the human. That is the basic desire of every one of us, to have a genuine place of our own, a home, a place where we belong and where we know ourselves to belong, where we feel at ease and at home. We need a home. We long for a home. And in these verses, Jesus calmly and simply assures his own that you don't have to be worried about these incidental troubles, because they're incidental in light of this place that I'm preparing for you. I'm making a home for you. And one day, you'll be at home. How many of you know we're not home yet? Let me see that. We're not home yet. We're on our journey, but we're not home yet. C.S. Lewis, in one of his writings in his book called The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis said, there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts we have ever desired anything else. It is the secret signature of each soul, he wrote, the incommunicable and unappeasable want, the thing we desired before we met our wives or made our friends or chose our work, and which we shall still desire on our deathbeds when the mind no longer knows wife or friend or work. End of quote. C.S. Lewis says that built within us, in the DNA of our hearts, is this hunger for a home. God put it there. We will never be satisfied until we know we have that home. Jesus said in his home were many mansions. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me carefully. Heaven will be as big as God wants it to be. If God can put together the stars in the heavens so that light traveling 186,000 miles a second takes 1,000 years to reach the earth, I think he can handle heaven. And the next time somebody comes up to you and says, oh, heaven won't be big enough for everybody, take them to Revelation 5:11. I love this verse, and let me just read it to you. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You say, Pastor Jeremiah, how many is that? Well, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. But that's not enough, so he had to add, and thousands of thousands. There's 100 million angels plus thousands and thousands more, and they're in heaven. 100 million doesn't begin to number the angels that are in heaven, so heaven must be pretty spacious. I promise you, it's big enough for all those who will be there. God is preparing a place for everyone who will put their trust in him. So the second thing Jesus said to his disciples was this. First of all, I want you to believe in a person. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then I want you to believe in a place. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And then the third thing he said, now I want you to believe, thirdly, in a promise. I want you to believe in a promise. 14:3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, there are many who have tried to explain this promise, and they say, well, that's what happens to you when you die. Jesus comes and gets you. Well, it is true that when a believer dies, the angels come and take them to heaven, but there's nothing in the Bible that says when a believer dies that the Lord Jesus comes all the way back and takes every individual to heaven. The angels carry you to, and you can find that in the book of Luke. This is not about when we die. This is about when Jesus returns. This is about when he comes back. He's saying, one of these days, I won't tell you when, but one of these days, I'm going to come back. He said to the disciples, you can't come with me now, but you will come with me later. He's coming back, and when he comes back, and this is his promise, I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, the simplest explanation of this is the best. My Father's house refers to heaven, and in heaven there are many rooms, and the point is that Jesus is coming back someday to take us who have trusted him to that place. Here's what I'd like you to know today if you don't remember anything else. Listen to me carefully. Jesus wants you to be with him. Jesus wants you to be with him. Did you know Jesus loves you? And he wants you to be with him. You know the most profound statement you'll find anywhere in Christendom? Here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with him. That's profound, is it not? That the Jesus who died on the cross for us, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Son of Man, in his own writing has said to us, I'm going to get a place ready, and the purpose for doing that is so that I can come and get you and you can come and be with me. I want you to be with me. Did you ever feel so loved in your life that the God of heaven wants to spend eternity with you? Over in John 17, where Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer, he actually prays to the Father about this. In verse 24 of John 17, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Some people say, well, okay, Pastor, what's he doing up there getting this place ready? I promise you, he doesn't have a hammer and nails. He's not doing that thing. He's not back in Nazareth. I mean, he could be if he wanted to, but that's not what this is about. And we don't know for sure what the preparation is all about, but let's not concentrate on that. Let's just concentrate on these little words. Whatever he's doing, it's for you. It's for you. It's for me. I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Get that in your head and in your heart. God loves you so much that what he's doing right now, it's all about you. He's doing it for you. That's how much he loves you. If we could ever for a moment see the true totality and ultimate picture of the love of God, we would melt beneath its pressure. He loves us. And what he's doing in heaven is for you. It's for me. That's how much he loves. I want to take just a moment at this point to stress the value of such thinking. Did you know that this whole issue of trouble is real, but also the fact that we don't need to be troubled is real? Let me just tell all of you who may be a little anxious this morning, filled with a little anxiety over what's going on. Jesus says you don't have to be troubled. When Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, that's a pretty strong statement. And what he's saying to us is this. This is how all this fits together, and this is how it keeps you from trouble. Listen to me. This is the way you win the battle over anxiety. Great victories are never won by those who don't have any trouble. The people who don't have any trouble aren't on the front line. They're back home waiting for the people on the front line to fight the war for them. No, you don't win victories by not having any trouble. Nor do you win victories by fearing that the battle is already lost and there's nothing that can be done. But if you know in your heart that the victory is ultimately already won and that the end of it is already clear, if you're in a war and you're fighting in a battle and you know we win and you know it's going to come out on your side, then you can play with confidence, you can fight with confidence, you can live with confidence. And that's what I'm here to tell you. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, I want you to believe in me first. I want you to believe in the place I'm going to prepare for you. And then I want you to believe in this promise. Listen to me. Jesus is saying to you and to me, I've got it all under control. Everything's going to be okay. And while you're going through some issues down here, in light of what I prepared for you, those are just little skirmishes on the way to the Father's house. If we can see that in the perspective God gives us in his word, the little skirmishes won't bury us. What God is saying to you and to me, friend, is this. I've got this under control. First of all, in the midst of the problems you have right now, you have me. I am here. Put your trust in me. I'll help you. Number two, I've got a place, and it's ultimately going to be just for you. And here's the promise I'm going to make you. I'm going to come and get you at the right time and take you to that place. Jesus wants us to believe in four things. He wants us to believe in a person. He wants us to believe in a place. He wants us to believe in his promise. And here's the last one. This might get a little testy, so hang on. He wants us to believe in a plan. He has a plan to get all of us to that place. Now, the fact that some are going to violate the plan, it's not his fault. He's made the plan. Here it is. Read on with me into this text, and notice in verses 4 through 6, Jesus says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, the doubter, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how are we going to know the way? How are we going to find it? Lord, we don't know what to put into the GPS. We don't know where we're headed. And Jesus said, Thomas, don't you worry about that. I am the way. William Barclay, a great historian, helps us understand that when he says, suppose you're in a strange town, and you ask for directions, and suppose the person says to you, well, take the first to the right and the second to the left, cross the square, go past the church, take the third on the right, and the road you want is the fourth on the left. He said, you're lost before you take the first turn. But suppose that person were to say to you, well, come on, I'll take you there. In that case, the person is the way. He's not showing you the way. He becomes the way. Oh, I love it when people do that for me because I am so directionally challenged. When I ask, I mean, it would be just one. Did you ever go in a gas station and ask for, has anybody ever said, you know what, son, I see your little distress. Why don't you just let me take you there? Nobody's ever done that for me. But once in a while when I ask a friend, they'll say, listen, Pastor, why don't you just let me take you there? Jesus said, Thomas, don't you worry about the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the word way began to be used in the early church in the book of Acts, it actually became a synonym for the church itself. They became known as the people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, if Jesus had said, I am a way, we'd have no issue here. But he didn't say that, did he? Look down at your Bible. It's not the word little letter A, it's the word the. Jesus didn't say, I am one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Oh, will that get you in a lot of trouble today? That is so intolerant. That is so politically incorrect to say that Jesus is the way. And you say, well, that's probably not what he meant. He probably didn't mean he was the only way. Well, read the rest of it. No man comes to the Father except through me. What part of that don't we understand? I'm afraid that sometimes we who are Christians, we allow the world to kind of temper our theology. We want them to feel we're good folks and that we're not intolerant, that we're not belligerent or any of those things that they say of us. And so if we're not careful, we give up the ground that is the real core basic truth of the gospel. I want to say it again. Jesus is the way to the Father. There is no other way to the Father except through him. You say, well, Pastor, that's just in one little isolated verse. So I thought I'd give you a couple others. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which may might be saved. Just nobody else. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So many in this day of tolerance are rejecting this truth concerning the way of God. They don't want to be looked upon as being narrow-minded, but we need to be just as narrow-minded as Jesus was. He's the one that said, you can only get to the Father through me. It seems like there should be more ways. And the writer of Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's not about what seems right that counts. It's about what is right. Just as God has determined that everyone who is born physically into this world will be born the same way through the agency of a man and a woman, so he has determined that everyone who is to be born spiritually will be born the same way through the agency of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He wants to take you to the Father's house, but you cannot get there without him. You may be good. You may come to church. You may serve in the church. You may have been in ministry. You may have an unflawed history, a resume that would impress everyone. None of that makes any difference. If you haven't trusted Jesus, he is the way. When you stand before the Lord someday, he won't ask you what you did in the church. He won't ask you how much money you gave to charitable causes. He won't ask you if you were a good, upstanding person in the community. He will ask you, what did you do with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you receive him? And you will be allowed into heaven on one condition, that you have accepted Jesus Christ and what he did for you in covering your sin with his blood so that you might have the righteousness that you need to get into heaven. So that's it. That's the plan. Jesus wants you to believe in a person. He wants you to believe in a place. He wants you to believe in his promise, but he also wants you to believe in the plan. Here's the plan. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There was a man of great wealth who had many homes on this earth. So many homes that he couldn't hardly keep up with them. He would have a difficult time remembering which home he was in. He was very wealthy, but he got sick. He got cancer. And though they took him to every specialist around the world, they could not find a way to keep that cancer from destroying his life. And so the doctor told him that he was going to die. Hospice was sent to his home. This very wealthy man had a 4-year-old little girl. And her mother was trying to help her understand what was going on with her daddy. She didn't understand death. Her mother just told her that daddy was going to go away to another place. One day, this little girl went into her daddy's bedroom, climbed upon the bed and said, Papa, can I ask you something? And he said, Sweetie, what do you want? She said, Papa, do you have a home in that place where you're going? And this man who had spent all of his life building homes on this earth had never spent any time caring for the home where he was going to spend eternity. Maybe you're here like that today. Maybe you've been around the church and you've been in the church and you've got Christians who talk to you and love you. They've told you about Jesus. Let me just tell you this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, it's just the simple thing of acknowledging who he is, invited him to come and live within your heart, and telling him that you receive him and accept him. He's the way. Someday, all of us will leave our earthly homes. Let me ask you this question, which is the most important question of all. Do you have a home in heaven? I know just the one who can show you the way. In fact, he is the way. If you know Jesus, he'll take you to the Father's home.
Dr. Jeremiah just shared his heart about how we can stay confident in this chaotic world. And he would like to extend an invitation for you to know the true source and foundation for a confident life, Jesus Christ. If you would like to know more about how you can begin or grow in your relationship with Jesus, Dr. Jeremiah would like to help by sending you two free resources. The first is a booklet called Your Greatest Turning Point. And the second is our monthly devotional magazine, Turning Points. These resources are yours completely free when you contact Turning Point today.
Thank you for watching Turning Point. When you support this program with a gift of any amount, Dr. Jeremiah will send you, in appreciation, his book, Living with Confidence in a Chaotic World, Certain Hope for Uncertain Times. And for a generous gift of $65 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will send you the Living with Confidence set, containing his book, his teaching series on your choice of CD or DVD, and a companion study guide. Plus, with any order of the book or set, you will receive the Unshakable Confidence cards to encourage you to stay the course each day. Receive these resources when you support the ministry of Turning Point today.
Next time on Turning Point.
In the midst of this crisis, we can turn our attention on ourselves, or we can look out at a needy world and say, Lord God, you put me right in the midst of this for such a time as this. Show me how to respond so that I can be your outstretched arms to the people who need some compassion.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Dr. Jeremiah next time for his message, Stay Compassionate, here on Turning Point.
Connect with Turning Point on the go, anytime, anywhere. Download the newly redesigned Turning Point app to listen to Turning Point Radio, watch Turning Point Television, read daily devotionals, and more. Plus, for the young ones in your life, the new Airship Genesis Pathway to Jesus mobile game, an engaging narrative puzzle adventure game that explores the life of Jesus. Available now on the App Store.